Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is just my monthly county fire wardens report.
Nothing too earth shattering today.
Should be pretty brief. Get you guys back on your regular agenda. Okay. So on the first thing there, I got a call from Todd Hurd the other day. He's just confirming that the structural integrity of the fire station over there can withhold the additional weight of the external siding that we approved here recently.
Oh.
I'm sure it will, but he wants to
make sure. That's probably a good idea.
So we're working with Todd.
One of those
on
little things we didn't think about.
He's there.
January, we only had 10 emergency incidents. Actually, things have been going very, very slow. I'm not sure what's good. Going on. That's a good thing when the fire chief comes in and says these things are going slow. So I'm pleased with that.
Good deal.
No fire investigations in January. Prevention's going very strong, though. We did a Children's Discovery Center presentation, and then our FireWise program. During the winter months, he does a lot of preparation and trying to get ready to, you know, get the fuel projects going. Met with the collaborative group, and then actually we set up a specific fuels group that's kind of a sub part of the collaborative, I guess. The intent being is that the fuels managers from BLM, the Forest Service, Sullivan County Unified Fire, the people that have got fuels background are getting together and comparing notes about upcoming fuel projects and seeing if there's opportunities to collaborate together on you know, any opportunities for grant funding or anything that might go into the collaborative and give some thoughts and suggestions there. So that seems to be going pretty well. The smoke detectors, again, going very, very strong. Last month we installed 22 new alarms and inspected 15 alarms. I don't know if I don't know if I brought this up last month, but we went and did an installation here in Pinedale first thing in the morning. One of Landon Collar, our prevention guy, and he was there, I don't know, 8 or 9 in the morning. And later on that afternoon, we got a call from the resident that he installed it, and she said, "Hey, there's got to be something wrong. This thing's going off. And you didn't do it right." So he comes back over there, and sure enough, it was going off. And he come back to the fire station. And he grabbed our R4 gas detector, which is specifically calibrated to measure for carbon monoxide and H2S and a few other gases. And he goes over there and measured it, and there were some not lethal levels of carbon monoxide, but definitely above the OSHA permissible exposure limit. There were 50 parts per million, which would have been enough to present with a heart or a headache. And after continued exposure, it could have had some health effects from that. Mm-hmm. And so we got to looking around and found the source, and the closer we got to the source, the higher the CO went. So we ended up doing an evacuation of, it was an apartment complex, and we evacuated the primary residence where the smoke detector was installed, but then we checked the neighbors as well, and they were also infected because of a common attic space above the apartments.
What was the source?
It ended up being the furnace. They had recently done some furnace work, and ended up being unclean combustion in the furnace that was causing it. But I think that leads to the credence of the validity of the program and how important it is that we continue to support that. And
I guess that they were happy with that outcome.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. They installed it, and right away that afternoon we found a problem and then they ended up having to call the gas company and come in and fix the problem. And I don't know the details of what exactly that entailed, but to me it was a success story that we installed it, and right away we got an activation of an alarm and went over and checked it out and validated it was a true alarm and tried to address it and make sure the folks were safe. And I've said this before, but I've been to fire alarms in the past where I remember one time I went to a family of four that actually had passed away, and it's really just devastating when you go to that kind of an alarm and see that loss to the community and to the family and to everybody that was involved. So I'm very pleased with it.
Shed, I did get a call from your office about the local people procuring some of your equipment and giving them an opportunity, and I really do appreciate you guys doing that. Whether it works out or not, doesn't matter. Yeah. You give everybody a chance.
So you'd asked me about that last time, and I didn't have the information right directly in front of me, but as soon as I left here, I went and dug into that and found the answer.
Yeah.
We did originally look to local vendors to try to provide those smoke detectors. Unfortunately, they weren't available. Something about Sublette County at 7,200 feet is that at our elevation, there's different types of smoke detectors. We like to use the photoelectric smoke detector rather than the ionization smoke detector. There's advantages and disadvantages of different types, but at our elevation, the photoelectrics seem to activate sooner than the opposing do. But they're not commonly carried in the hardware stores here. So originally, when we purchased smoke detectors, we'd asked the hardware stores, and they didn't have any. So we ended up going with a wholesale electric supply company out of Jackson that provided those for us and at a wholesale price too. But yeah, since your question, we looked into it and absolutely.
Well, I do appreciate that
process.
And I mentioned, you know, to Casey about the gun locks and all of that kind of stuff. And that's all we can do is just, you know, make the effort and go from there. Thank you very much.
The other thing is I checked into how the grant works that we've been receiving. I didn't know the specific details of it. Kitty is the smoke detector and fire alarm manufacturer. They've got an annual grant that we apply for, and they've been providing us with 50 smoke detectors every year. We give away quite a few more than that, but that does supplement our program and allow it to go that much further. So there is some additional funding from the manufacturer of smoke detectors as well.
Okay. Thank you.
So training's going very, very well. We started our recruit academy. I think I've spoke to you about this in the past, but I really put a lot of effort into the recruitment drive this year. We ended up with having 15 new firefighters, which was exactly what we were looking for. Ideally, I wanted to get 20, but we know that frequently there'll be a few firefighters that kind of fall out of the program. And so right now we're sitting with 15, which I think is a very strong number, and they're going through that recruitment program right now, and it's been very successful. We sent several firefighters to Midwinter Fire School in Riverton recently, five or six firefighters. Continuing to do some additional training. We actually did a traffic incident management class here recently that we invited the law enforcement and EMS folks to come sit in, and the intent being is that when we have a bad wreck on any of the highways, we want to try to control traffic as they flow through the incident to make sure that they don't have a secondary incident and that our responders are safe while they're on the scene too. So as a result of that training, now we're trying to adopt some common policies amongst all the agencies to make sure we know where to park our apparatus and how to warn oncoming traffic and where to put the flaggers and just make sure that we've all got a common operating picture among everybody. And that seems to be progressing very well, and I'm looking forward to the end result of that. And the intent being is, you know, finally to help improve the safety of our firefighters. And I've said this before, but the amount of responses that we go to, I think that's our primary risk to our firefighters, is because we go to more traffic collisions than any other type of incident. We spend a lot of time on the highway out there, and there's just a significant amount of risk out there. And I think anything we can do to try to minimize that risk is time and effort well spent. The health and safety program, our Mike Straw, our health safety officer, is pushing really strong on that. He's just getting started with the annual firefighter physicals. One of the things I had him do is after the the water issue we had in Aspen Grove here a couple of months ago, we put together an evacuation plan during that flooding that occurred, but it In my opinion, in hindsight, I would have liked to have had a pre-prepared evacuation plan for that. There is one for the Sublette Center, but it hasn't been looked at for many, many years. And so I'd asked our health and safety officer to look at that and come up with a modern evacuation plan for both of those facilities. And he's working hard on that process right now, and then working with our other emergency response agencies to put something together for what we do in case we ever do need to evacuate one of those two facilities. Other than that, just the regular cooperative services meetings that I go to. I think that's a big part of my job, is trying to reach out to other agencies and just communicate and try to do everything we can to continue to partner. So.
Beautiful. Questions?
I just heard through the grapevine, and I wanted to ask them about it. Shad, and how many of you are taking EMT courses, which involves how much time? I just commending you for the time they put in.
So we're Sublette County Unified Fire is hosting the EMT class. There's 20 students total in the class, of which 12 are volunteer firefighters. and the intent being is that we're trying to improve our ability to help manage, you know, patient care when we go to emergency recs and so on. But also on top of that, anytime that there's a call for EMS in the more remote areas of the county, oftentimes firefighters are able to get there and provide stabilization and then directions to incoming resources and even help with packaging and transport or helping the ambulance to provide transport. So yeah, we've got several of our firefighters going through that. So
I think that's commendable. 12 people to put in that much more time on, as a volunteer.
Yeah. And that's for the basic?
Yeah, just the basic.
And that's good. That's be very helpful.
Yes, sir.
Good starting point.
Yeah. So it's a requirement for all of our firefighters to be CPR, first aid, AED trained. We've been encouraging the BEC or EMR level of training. Several of our firefighters have obtained that, and now on top of that, they're actually going on to the basic level and trying to maintain that level of training as well. I think it's right at 240 hours of training now for EMT basic, and it's a significant commitment on the part of us.
So is EMS putting that on, or are you putting that on?
Sublette County Unified Fire is putting that on, yes, sir.
So the other 8 participants are just from the community?
Yes, sir.
Which is good for the community.
Yeah, and the numbers on that have been fluctuating a little bit. There's been a couple of participants have dropped out. I don't know the exact numbers right now, but it's pretty close to that.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, well, I don't have anything further. Is there any additional questions?
No, thank you, Shad. Appreciate it.
Thank
Keep
you
up
much.
Good work.
Thank you.
I'm
going
to be proud of you.
Yep. And we'll see you this afternoon.
I'll be here.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I hope so.
Commissioner Rawhauser, will you want to start with the bills? And if we can go ahead and do old business while we're doing that. Been waiting all week to hear about you guys' meetings.
Well, I'll give you the truth.
I wasn't there, but I'll bet I could report on each and every one of you guys' meetings.
You've been there before.
The meeting with Bob, everything now is in the hands of Matt, and he's writing it up. And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
It's either going to happen or it's not.
Right. Beautiful. And if it's going to happen, it'll happen without strings.
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Go or no go.
And, of course, the trip to Cheyenne was busy. We didn't have any committee meetings. There were several things that happened at the in the House, several things that happened in the Senate that we went and watched that I didn't understand in terms of the trivial things that were being proposed, and then come back and say how hard they're working, and the discussions about pink and orange. But anyway.
Did you receive that email from Pete yesterday about the...
Yes.
Yeah.
The circle of death.
Yeah, they're meeting today, and I'm sure you wanted to jump in your truck and run down there and be present.
Well, the point is that one of the things that we did find out about is this whole thing is between two counties. This has nothing to do with the rest of the state. It's two groups that can't get along. And they're wanting to change the rules.
Right. Okay. Let's pause right there. Robin, we're a little ahead of schedule. So are you. Do you want to jump in? We can get you back to work.
Thanks. So I come with a couple updates. The first one is, and sorry I didn't get this to Mary sooner, but I was out of town the end of last week, so... at the Fair Board meeting last week, we re-signed our Fair Extension MOU, so I have a copy signed ready for your signature, and then Mary can get it back to us whenever. So essentially, nothing changed on that much other than we renamed or took out a specific name of the fair management software that we use because we didn't use what we had in there anymore. And then we extended the date. It says annual operating agreement. We hadn't signed one since 2015, but we did extend the date for 2 years.
Okay. So is this the MOU between the county and the fair board?
It's the fair and the extension and the county. So it, really what it does is defines who does what in relation to county fair.
Okay.
So as you may well know, based on what's happened in Uinta County, we've had some issues with there being disagreements on whose role what was during county
right.
fair and some county fair personnel trying to implement things into the 4-H program, which they don't have control over the 4-H
right.
program.
Right.
So this kind of helps with that.
Gotcha.
So the reason that I'm here and the reason that we extended that to 2 years is because I am retiring at the end of this, right after county fair.
I'm sorry, we can't accept
that. Well,
really?
I am. It's been a tough decision, but honestly, I have a lot of years in at the university between what I worked on campus and when I worked here, and really, it's just it's time.
Wow.
I've spent a lot of nights and weekends away from my family, and it, you know, it's
yeah, can't blame you.
It's
yeah,
it's been 12 years of.
So
322 days a year.
When will you
actually
retire then?
So right now, we're looking at probably immediately after county fair. I'll wrap things up for county fair. It's bad timing, I know. It's never good timing. Originally, I'd come to plan January, but the 4-H year's in full swing by then, and it's really unfair to expect some new person to come in and deal with that. So state fair is a bit of a problem, and honestly, it. I'll do what I can to make sure things go smoothly. I'll get the kids signed up for state fair. I'm choosing to be a mom rather than go to state fair. My daughter will be going to vet school that week, and I'm planning on moving her, you know, where does she goes? Probably California, it looks like, so.
Oh, dang it.
I know. I know. So
yeah.
That's kind of what's going on. And so really why I'm here is my job has, it's maybe a little different than some of the other 4-H positions in the state, in that I've created a set of expectations that might be a small bit unrealistic for what'll probably come our way.
Hmm.
And I mean that kindly, but you know, most kids don't come out of school knowing how to write grants and fund a program like I've been able to fund it. And with the additional responsibilities of the livestock barn and things like that that we've created, it's a pretty big workload right now.
Yeah.
So what the university's asked is if it would be possible that we could advertise and bring someone on while I'm still here, which has never happened in extension before. I think it's a really good idea, in all honesty, just because, it, you know, I don't know how to say this politically correctly, but the track record of keeping people in my position is not very good right now in extension. We're getting about a year to a year and a half out of them. And I think a lot of that is because they come into a position with no guidance, no, you know, they have no idea what to do. Our supervisor's in Laramie, he doesn't even know what we do. So I think it's hard. And so what we'd like to do is potentially advertise, try to get someone on board by June, so they'd have June and July to work alongside me so I could transition stuff over to them, help them understand how the barn functions. What that's going to require is a little bit of commitment from.
That's just what I was going to ask. Where does the funding come from?
So what we have right now is I have purposely not spent a whole lot of the assistant position. So typically in the summer we hire someone to help me get through the summer, because I work a million bazillion hours, and sometimes we have literally two events in two places. So we wouldn't hire that person. The university is going to send a person, like a college student. So we would have that money left over in our budget, which will help get us by. And then there's still a pool of money that we've been rolling over in the county budget, which I will deal with that before I'm gone too, and make sure that money's where it needs to go. It'll probably get moved onto campus in the 4-H Foundation account, so it's, you know, guaranteed to be spent on 4-H stuff. But we have that pool of money that we can use too. But I just need a blessing from you all that we can move forward and make that happen.
Right. To me, that sounds like an absolute logical way to do that, and I'm surprised nobody else does that, that this is a new frontier.
Yeah.
That's quite surprising. But, I'm all for that now. It's terrible for us that you're retiring, but understanding why you're doing it, it's the right choice.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, I'm ready. It's time for a change. And,
yeah.
Well, good. You know, it's a job I've invested a lot of time in. Yeah, on average, I work 322 days a year. Yeah. So
basically, you just need our blessing to utilize that money that you have set aside for that position.
Right. Okay. And so what it's going to look like is it's going to look like we're going to have two 4-H people, and we will, for a couple months. And then they'll just take my job.
And they'll move into your position. Will there be
a
difference?
They'll hire them in at what they're going to hire them.
Yeah, will there be a difference in their pay when they move into your job?
No, they'll be hired in at what they're going to stay at. And that's a bit of a dilemma, I'll be honest with you guys, is that... So, because I had a position on campus before I came here, I'm a different classification of employee. I'm an academic professional, so I'm essentially a faculty member at the university. So, that's a little bit different level of pay.
Okay.
And so the person coming in, you're going to see a budget decrease, I'll just tell you that much. The only thing that I would encourage you guys to provide some input on, at least if we have an opportunity with the university, is that, you know, part of the reason we can't keep people right now is their pay scale is so bad. I mean, you can't work 322 days a year for nothing, and that's kind of what they're paying.
We've been having this discussion for the last couple of years, too, especially with what's coming up.
Yeah. Well, and it's a challenge, too, because, you know, in our county, you guys see the need to pay county personnel well, but in our county, it's a real, very real scenario that our secretary will make $15,000 to $20,000 more than the person who's coming in that has a degree will make. And that's a real challenge. So it makes it especially hard to keep a quality person when they're like, really? I went to school and I make less than the secretary? But, you know. But that's how it is. So I would encourage you guys to, you know, maybe have that conversation with the university if you have an opportunity. And I know there are counties. Campbell County is a county who has kicked in a little bit extra money. We used to be told we couldn't do that because I believe Eric had asked quite some time ago, and we were told that the county wasn't allowed to do that because it's not fair to every county. Right. So.
I don't think you have any problem with any of us giving you the blessing to use that money that way. And I don't believe that needs to be done in a motion.
I want
allocated.
You guys to know.
It's up to her how she wants to spend it. She just has kindly asked for our blessing on
that. Well, I want you to know before you see a job ad in the paper, I want you to know what's going on. I mean, I've appreciated your guys' support and everything that we've done. I mean,
we appreciate that too.
A phenomenal program here, and I really believe it's because of the support that we've had from the county, and it's a good partnership.
Had anybody show any interest just in conversation? No.
No, I'm trying to encourage maybe a couple former kids to come back and apply, like former 4-H members that have now gone on and gotten their degrees. And it's just a challenge. One of them would be phenomenal, but she's a teacher, and quite frankly, she makes more than they're going to pay as a teacher, and every summer's off. I wouldn't do that either, you know.
Well, we certainly wish you the best, and we thank you for the years of service. We realize we've gotten way more than what we've paid for.
Well, I appreciate it. I just appreciate you guys. I mean, it's a great county, and I love the kids, and I love our families, and I'll probably still volunteer.
Well, you're not going anywhere.
No, I'm not going anywhere, but I'm not.
Now you'll just...
I'm going to find some other trouble.
You'll do some of the same stuff you used to do and not get paid for it.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
I need a motion on this MOU, gentlemen.
Do we need to approve that by motion?
It is an MOU between us and...
So we're part of it.
We're part of it.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we enter into the MOU between the UW Extension, Sublette County Fair Board, and Sublette County regarding fair and managers. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Awesome.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just one further comment. We've been having some discussion amongst the counties in regards to extension in general, and I saw an email, we probably all got it here a while back, from Pete Obermuller, to the effect that at some point we need to have a real sit-down discussion with the university, with the trustees, with the ag college, with counties about extension and the direction extension is going, and this 4-H program is part of that. But the university, and in the context that it's a land-grant university, and the idea that they seem to be pulling everything back to campus as opposed to concentrating on providing an effective extension program is an issue with many counties. And I don't know when we'll get into that, but it's caught the attention of our executive director at WCCA, and I think at some point we'll have some discussion, maybe starting through the legislature. I don't know.
It appears.
I don't know how it's going to work out, but that when we get to that point, I would ask Robin if she's available. I would certainly like to have her input onto this and her insight into
absolutely
what needs to be done to fix it, and the pay in counties where the pay is not competitive with other jobs in the county, that's one issue that needs discussed, and what can be done about it if the university can see that and like have something that would be based on the cost of living, possibly, that would not necessarily require the same dollars per hour in every county in the state, because it's just not practical, and we can't keep people with that scenario.
And I could see where this would be a good way, if you are no longer employed by University of Wyoming, where you could add some very valuable information unrestricted.
I absolutely could. And I'm happy to do so off record at any point. I'll tell you, budget cuts have been tough on us, and really, I'll just be 100% honest, I've lost my heart for the University of Wyoming Extension. I really have. And that's really where it's at. I mean, I serve these kids and families forever, but I...
pretty good discussion. If we were in charge of the checkbook, we could figure it out in a hurry. We know exactly where to cut and where to fund.
Yeah.
But we're not so in charge of that.
So do I, but I'm not in charge either, and really my opinion is pretty much...
I think it'll be good, when you're no longer employed, that you can speak freely.
And I'd be happy to. I just appreciate you guys a lot.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin, for all the good work you do.
We appreciate all your hard work. Thank you very much. We'll miss you. But you'll still be around for us to pick your brain.
I will. Okay. And I will continue to, so you know, as county coordinator through this budget cycle. And then at some point, I'm going to have to get my coworker on board to figure out how to handle things. I'm assuming nobody's really told me what's going to happen, but...
yeah,
I'm assuming that's going to be the case, because I would imagine that you'll probably end up with some probably 21-year-olds coming to my job.
Keep us posted on who's going to be taking the reins.
When you fill that position, we drag them in.
And bring them in here.
Absolutely. One good benefit is that by me staying employed and we bring in someone on, I actually get to be part of the interview process, which is good.
Excellent. Thank you, Robin.
Yep.
Appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Yep. Good
Thanks.
Luck.
You guys must not have made anyone mad lately.
No, we haven't. Just stick
around. Stir something up for you.
Stay tuned. Come back this afternoon.
Come back this afternoon.
Carry on, Commissioner Rawhauser.
Well, I think that's all I have.
Okay.
That's my question I wanted to ask here. But when it comes to this, the new person, we have absolutely nothing to do with who that is in terms of the interview process.
No.
Have we been involved? Have we been at a seat?
We have. I've served on that
interview
committee
several
times through the years.
Well,
and when we hired the last extension, the last couple of extension agents, and that's kind of, I guess, would be up to Kelly Crane, and I expect when he gets to that point, he'll probably give us an opportunity.
You're part of the interview process. Do you get to help make the decision or not?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, we have a committee, and we actually in the past have voted on who to pick.
Okay. All right.
Well,
Commissioner Noble.
As you know, we were all in Cheyenne. Turned out on Friday, I met Noel. I didn't have a Friday. Oh, there was some amendments introduced to the Endow Bill, and Albert Summers asked for some representation from Sublette County, so I got to turn around Sunday and drive back to Cheyenne.
What a good deal.
And it was interesting. It was an experience. So the Minerals Committee there was a substitute bill introduced, but they didn't really discuss it. They asked why there was a substitute bill, and Jody Levin kind of touched base on that they didn't have their input, so they added some. Sam Bixler, Matt Murdock, and I testified on behalf of the Endow Bill to support it. And then those people. I don't know where that came from.
It's mine. Oh. Put it in the envelope.
14, 16, 16.
That's where it goes. It goes inside my envelope.
Boy. I'll tell you what. So anyhow, in short, we discussed the broadband part of the Endow Bill for quite some time. Adjourned. They're going back into committee hearings tonight. Okay. We drove home
sleep at the wheel. You
last night.
Do that one.
So, yeah, we also met with Joanne last week. Which was CTC. That went well. Pretty much it for me.
Okay. Commissioner Burnett.
Not the only thing to add to anything was we did have our monthly meeting with the seniors in Marbleton. For some reason or another, it went on for about 3 hours. And it was the day after, I think, the meeting with Lorraine Werner with the USDA. And so there was a lot of questions and comments from that. People in that end of the county still concerned about the proposed hospital program and size and scope of the project. But other than that, that's about all I have to report.
Thank you. Commissioner Bowers.
The only thing I got any update on, and I copied everybody on that last email on WPLI questioning the county's policy on wilderness, and I further explained the situation, and I guess we go from there.
Okay.
See what recommendations we get to begin with. So.
Yeah, I thought your response to that email from that fellow from Jackson was
outstanding.
Very good.
Yes.
Good work, Bill.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mac and I head out next week for Thursday for NACO.
Cool. Where is that?
In D.C. Legislative Conference.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Chairman, could I report on...
Yes.
I attended several legislative committee meetings last week because the clerks were meeting, but ours primarily revolved around elections. But there was one that was a surprise to me. We had... a sponsor for collecting sales, dealer, car dealers collecting sales tax. And that particular bill has been, this is the third time it's been proposed and the third time it's gone down in flames. But as part of that hearing, before that, there was a presentation by Representative Barlow from Campbell County, and it had to, the bill that he was proposing had to do with extraordinary expenses related to collecting taxes. So the gist of the bill was, is that just exactly like our situation with Vanguard, where we have had to incur extra expense. We've had to hire a contract attorney to represent us in Wyoming. We've had to hire a contract attorney in Texas to represent us to go to court. We had to send our treasurer down because they have a must-appear requirement in court. So she went to Houston 2 weeks ago for court. And part of the gist of this bill also is it's the county's responsibility to collect the tax and distribute the tax. But when there becomes issues with extraordinary expenses, then in our county, we have always eaten those expenses. But it may become an issue where those expenses need to be distributed back to the folks that are receiving taxes. So we put together our billing for the Vanguard thing and go back to the library and say, gee whiz, you owe us $3,000 for the collection of this tax that's part of your mill levy. Or we go back to the school districts and say, that type of thing. The issue that Campbell County is facing is that they have currently been involved in a bankruptcy where they have spent way more money trying to collect the money than they're going to end up with at the end.
They spent over $500,000 so far.
Yeah. And that's where this all comes. Trying to collect, yeah.
Okay.
We got lucky. In a lot of cases, from the testimony that Representative Barlow presented, he said a lot of times the court may rule that the county ends up with a dime on every dollar of tax or a quarter on every dollar of tax. We got lucky. The judge ruled in our favor, and we got all the tax money. Of course, we're under appeal, but you know some of those kinds of things that it's something to the future that if we're going to be dealing with bankruptcies and collecting our taxes, we may have to share in the expense of that, and it could be a money loser, you know. Anyway. So Revenue Committee passed it out unanimously to the floor. I haven't heard what's happened next on that bill, but I thought it was rather interesting because there were a couple references to Sublette County in the presentation, and I was like, oh, yeah. I think I'm the only Sublette County person sitting here. I better talk. Hmm. So I did testify on behalf of the county.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess we can see where that bill goes. Okay.
That's the one we voted support strongly in the county commissioners.
Well, and Rob Hinton was there and spoke on behalf of the commissioners in support of the bill.
Okay. So. Excellent. Okay, I'm not going to bore you guys with what I've been up to. You have an idea.
I will give you kudos.
You have an idea.
I will give kudos to the return on your response to the letter.
Okay.
Oh, did you write back?
I did.
Good.
Yep.
That's a tough one.
As is Sheriff Lear.
Oh, good.
Maybe I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Just for my clarification, Wesley, I see that Road Bridge had a bill for $900, and I see a voucher for Billy for $900.
He paid for the expenses for his guys to go to those schools because they had that credit card.
Okay. Because yeah. Mary wouldn't send the credit card.
Yeah, because, yeah.
So, that same $900 was twice.
shouldn't be.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Because I saw it under the road and bridge section, and then I saw it under after the bill.
Under the road and bridge.
One of the, I don't know. We can look at it. We'll search it out. I just struck, if that's what caught my eye, it was 900 twice.
So what would be the road and bridge section then?
Oh, I'd have to pull it up on my... It was under the crushing to Reese or something.
Okay, so there was $900 to Billy for the school to reimburse him for signing these guys up for the
that
school and the expenses.
Budget, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So then you go... It was under the two from Reese's for the crane. There was another 900 there.
Probably what you paid for to use the crane?
No, I'm just referring to Reese's as where on the voucher section.
Reese's? Mountain States? Is that
Mountain
who you're talking
States,
about?
Yes. Sorry.
Those are crusher repairs.
Okay, I know, but under that there should be the name.
And they're all built. They're all to Mountain States.
900.
Uh huh.
I just struck it.
So look at the voucher. Let's see what it says.
I don't know.
We're on passes here, so we've already passed.
We've already passed, so. Mountain States, and
yeah.
I missed QRS here.
M and O and O. I got L's.
Oh, here's some M's.
Is that the M's?
Yeah, there we've got the M's at the bottom. M O here. Mountain States Water Service, no.
That's the $900 one. Put crusher back together is what it says on the invoice.
That's Mountain State.
Crane work. So it's for the crane.
$900
to Mountain States.
Okay. For the crane.
For the crane to put the crusher together.
I just didn't know really. So. Paid for that too, and then. I was just asking.
No, it's to Mountain States. Mm-hmm. Billy approved the bill.
That there was two 900 ones.
Yeah. Well, one's to Billy.
Question actually for you, Commissioner Nolan. You went back to Cheyenne, and then you took two people with you.
Yes.
Right, and they rode in the Suburban, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Which isn't an issue because you were taking the Suburban and you bought fuel also.
Yes.
But feeding them is an issue.
Never.
You didn't submit for feeding them.
No.
Okay. Okay.
The McDonald's thing you see in there was for feeding.
Okay, perfect. Good. That took care of that.
Ryan and I covered that, huh?
Oh, okay, good.
We did.
That's good.
So these were from when you went last week.
Then you knew knew that before you went.
Yes.
Okay, good.
No, Mary and I kind of.
Oh, you had a
back
talk.
And forth
oh,
on
okay.
That.
I told him
that I wasn't buying everybody lunch.
I actually texted her and we had a fun time.
So you
kind
had
of
a,
like we do with the Suburban.
You had a good education then.
Did y'all all preach in the same room?
No. So I didn't realize we, Kendall Valley Fire Homes on state land, and we pay $307 a year.
Yeah.
For the lease.
So remember the Kendall Valley Fire Hall deal? We were making a deal with the Forest Service to locate that, and then all of a sudden, here come the firemen. They've swung a deal with the state, and we have a lease. So we're on lease ground up there. Is that like the dumbest thing?
Yeah, that, so I don't know what we can do about that.
I guess
we should own that.
So that's
yeah.
on,
It's state land.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'd forgot. I knew it. I totally forgot.
Is there anything that land? We can okay, do okay, that the state actually deed that to us or not?
They'd have to have it appraised.
We'd have to pay market value.
I'll be darned.
Just the way the rules are.
Huh. Dave. How are you?
How are you, Dave?
How do you shake these, all of these distinguished hands?
Oh, my goodness sake.
Sorry, I keep missing you.
Dave, how are you?
David Burnett.
Hi, Dave.
How are you, Dave?
I know, it's cold outside.
It is.
It's about 9 below.
Dave, how you been?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
What's that?
What do we owe this pleasure?
Well, I was just picking up some WPLI brochures, and I thought you were meeting, so I thought I'd just say hello.
Oh, good. So good. Glad you did.
I've been just great.
So, you been out traveling any?
No. I leave on Friday, though, for Daytona Beach for a week, so I'm kind of looking forward to
that.
Oh,
dang.
Were you there? Yeah, I should have gone.
My daughter went to the 500, yeah. Do you do spring break frequently, or is that just
It's with Peggy's sister and one of her sisters.
Are you
going to
get there before spring break? I hope so.
I don't really care. I just want to get there. That's all that matters to me. So. Well, we got another WPLI powwow tomorrow. So,
tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you going to be talking about?
I don't know if it's here or if it's at Weed and Pass, but
you're going to be doing.
Tomorrow is, I think, Lake Mountain tomorrow.
Oh, Lake Mountain? Okay.
I think that's the focus tomorrow.
I thought you were kind of done with that one.
Well, we haven't ever formally made the decision.
Okay.
And I know that Dan wanted to extend the look at other lands with wilderness characteristics to the south of Lake Mountain. But I think that the committee has decided that's probably not going to be a place that we want to go.
If you go south, you're in Lincoln County.
Yeah, and we know that already.
Ain't gonna work.
So
I just know you get a kick out of it.
So I think Lake Mountain's pretty easy, and I think then Scab will be next.
Okay.
And, I will going through.
That's how I read it.
Yeah. And it's all fun, isn't it?
It's been pretty interesting.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I sat in on an hour of the Teton County WPLI last week.
How's that
only take an hour?
Well, that's all I could dedicate. I mean, I had enough in an hour.
Is that all you could stand?
And that is pretty interesting up there. And
is it pretty contentious?
Well, the hour I was there, there was a lot of is it press here?
Yeah. and the recorder is running.
It was pretty interesting.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
It was pretty interesting.
I'll be darned.
So.
Well, thanks for your work on that. Appreciate it.
Well, I didn't mean to take up too much of your time.
Thanks for coming by.
Have fun, Daytona.
You bet.
Take some good pictures.
Well, I plan to.
Good.
So always. Come by always anytime good. Or call me if you want to have a cup of coffee and talk about this stuff.
Sure.
So I'd love to catch up with each of you.
Is there any time that your group will be meeting with the Teton group? Collaborative time on the show, Craig.
Oh.
We have said to them that we would love to meet with them when they're ready, and it would be our entire group as opposed to a subcommittee of sublet. So it would be all, what are there, 8 or 9 of us? And whatever combination they want, but we don't want to have a meeting until they're ready, and we don't want to burn up a whole lot of time having a negotiation with a representative group only to find out later that group didn't represent anything.
Right.
So whether that meeting actually happens is a pretty good question.
How many people are on the committee? It was like 20.
21, I think.
Yeah, it's a large group.
Yeah. It was a...
And you think it's tough with 5 of them?
Well, yeah. It's, yeah. It's,
so,
One of my favorite things to say in this meeting, Dave, is that everything has already been said, but not everybody's had a chance to say it.
Well, that's good. I can't even come back on that one. So.
Keep that in mind in your meetings.
Okay. All right. See you guys. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, you guys, we're going to have voucher 101.
Right, here we go. Good girl. Let them have it. Mary.
Mr. Mack and Mr. Tom, here we go.
Well, I think we're in about fun.
Okay, so when you fill out your voucher, you're doing good, but up here on the top part where it says 2, that's you.
Sure.
So this is going to be Mack Rothauser, your post office box. Okay.
Otherwise, it goes to the
Same
chairman.
To
well, it's unfortunate because I asked Mac, did we put anything there?
He didn't. Well, that's the wrong guy.
It goes to the chairman if you don't fill it in. I was wondering who was going to get to play dad when you guys went, and it looked like it was Tom.
I think we were
testing.
We tasked him to pay for the McDonald's hamburger.
I usually get that honor.
I got some bad boys too. For you here a second.
I didn't turn into that just for the fridge.
That's a good thing.
You know, half the time I just say, oh, to hell with it. I'm not turning a voucher.
Yeah,
I'll just
right.
pay for it.
The roads were really windy on the trip down and back. And then on the third trip, or second trip, they were the best I've ever had them.
Going down.
Yeah. And then coming back.
That was coming back.
Yeah, that was.
Wait a minute.
I'll bet that was fun.
I don't know if I have time to look this up.
No, there's really some deficiencies in that Suburban.
I got to go back and
work on that. Safety issues. Yeah. I'm not sure Joe can hear everything we said.
Just make notes. Just keep
it. I pulled it up my computer last night.
Now the wind comes in on the driver's side.
Yeah, you know.
Sitting in the front on the passenger side. You
think this is your
back. Is that right?
Yeah. Wind
you comes
out.
Howling.
Check it out. You don't even know what I'm buying.
I know. I can't hear anything anyway. I just smile and nod.
Yeah. Sometimes you're better off.
Oh, boy.
So I will tell you, on the motel room voucher that you're about to get, we did print off some stuff, and that was the $19 I put to my room.
Okay.
Because we were printing bills and trying to formulate a plan, which all went out the door when they said, oh, we're not hearing the substitute bill. We're going to go back to the original. They're like, great.
So I've got another invoice here I just wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
And we probably need to pay it, but this afternoon Todd's going to be here and he's going to talk to you about meeting with the Big Piney Airport Board and meeting with the Conservation District.
Right.
Because remember you guys
we got
said
a report
that we would,
from him on that.
Yeah. That we would pay for getting them to bid on their projects.
So is that the bill?
No. This is a bill that was submitted to us because Todd spent an hour with Sam Bixler to talk about grant funds.
Okay.
And
I think we need to hold that. And
I asked Todd, I said, so what does this have to do with what we're doing?
With county.
Yeah.
And his answer?
Well, of course, you know, I don't know if, I didn't know, and I don't know if he even does, if Sam represents the airport board. I know he works for the town of Marbleton. But that airport board came to you guys and said they had the money in hand to do the project.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk to them about the fact that why don't they do FAA grants like Pinedale does. And
but this is talking about grants with Sam Bixler.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with the airport board.
Well, that's how come I asked Todd. I said, Todd, I said, what's
you know, what's the deal with this?
So unless Sam was representing Marbleton, Marbleton's interest on the airport board.
Yeah, and that's kind of a stretch.
That is. So perhaps we need to talk to Todd.
Because we really didn't know that there was grant writing that was going to happen for this project. Our commitment of Todd to the project was to get them to bid on the project, that
right.
they had the money in hand.
Does that include grant writing?
Yeah.
Right. So, what's the bill for?
$120, and it's pretty vague. It says services rendered through January. Conversation with Grant or with Sam Bixler on funding for grants.
I think perhaps that bill should go to the airport board.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because that isn't what you guys
committed
to.
That's not what we agreed to do.
You didn't agree to funding. You didn't
no.
agree to grant writing.
Right.
You didn't agree to any of that. You agreed to pay Todd to get them to bid. So
that's kind of a stretch. Grant
that's
writing.
What I thought.
I agree.
Let's hold
that. Can I just forward it off onto Marbleton?
Why don't you?
I'll just forward it on to Marbleton and say...
Well,
or
Sam,
the airport board, rather. I'm sorry.
Airport board.
Yeah.
I was going to say Sam represents Marbleton, and he spent the time with Sam. So either Marbleton or the airport board.
Yeah.
Send
okay.
it to the airport board.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it.
Thank you. Any other bad boys?
No, you got them all, I think.
Sheriff must not have anything for us today.
Must not.
Okay. Tony, do you have anything for us, or are you just listening?
Hey, pardon?
Just asking if you had anything for us, or if you were just listening.
I was just waiting for the sheriff.
Well, so were we, but he's not here.
Huh?
So are we, and he's not here. So we're assuming he's not coming. There you go.
Is that busy?
Might be. Huh? He might be.
Wait, we'll take a 5-minute break, see if he
yeah,
shows up.
Yeah, we'll take a break. See if he comes. I can text him.
Yes.
Why don't I do that?
I have